This is the Jordan Innovation Lab podcast. In the coming months, you will meet some of the students, teachers, and alumni who make Jordan High School such a special part of the Durham community. We hope you enjoy their stories. This is Stuart Albright with the Jordan Innovation Lab, and I'm really excited. I have five incredibly bright and amazing young people from my Innovation Lab class who were kind enough to come in here and talk a little bit about their immigration experiences. So we have Yarissa, we have Noam, we have Chan, we have Mina, and we have Ayat. And they're going to talk a little bit about what it's been like for them navigating the American school systems. When we talk about immigration, people often get have very strong opinions about it, and we don't often see the people who are affected by immigration. So today we're going to talk a little bit about what that's like for some of the families of our students at Jordan High School. So first off, Ayat, if you could tell me a little bit about how your family came to this country.
Actually, I came from Jordan to over here. Like, I was first at Syria, then I moved to Lebanon, and then I moved to Jordan. And then, as well, my parents have to apply for a program, or I'm not sure what was it, but we were waiting for too long, and then, like, suddenly, out of nowhere, we had a call saying that you guys will be flying to the United States, you know, at this date and this time. Mm-hmm. It was a shocking for us. At the same time, my parents were excited, because even in Jordan, I didn't have my family. Like, you know, my grandparents and all of those, they were all in Syria. Mm-hmm. So we were like alone, basically.
Yeah.
We had friends, but still.
Chan, if you could also talk a little bit about how your family's from Burma originally, is that correct?
Yes.
So yeah, tell me a little bit about that.
There's a military coup during 2021 on February, and my uncle was the political activist. So he's in like, news and stuff, and military was like looking for our family, so just we like sent email to
United Nations.
Yeah, uh-huh. That, and they like arranged for us to come here. So yeah, I came with my aunt and my two cousins and me.
Very cool. Mina, if you could talk a little bit about your experience of how you came here.
So I'm originally from Iraq, but my parents moved to Egypt because of the war. And so I was born in Egypt. So my parents continuously tried to apply to this program that the U.S. was doing called World Relief. And so we kept getting rejected at first. But then my dad applied again, and he mentioned that he had arthritis in his leg and that he had to get surgery. And so I guess that was what allowed them to accept us later on. So my dad ended up leaving college. He was studying law. And so me, my mom, and my sister and I, we all immigrated to the U.S. and came to North Carolina.
Noam, if you talk a little bit about your journey coming here from Honduras, right?
Right. Okay, all start at the start of the COVID, when my country passed a very difficult situation because the hospital was full, all was canceled in my country, and studies, all things like that. And that was the moment where my mom decided to bring me and my brother to USA.
So you've been here for, I guess, 2 years now, is that right, or...?
Like 3 years.
3 years. Yeah. And when you came here from Honduras, did you speak any English?
No, nothing.
Yeah, that's amazing. So you've got one younger sibling, or how many siblings do you have?
Just one brother.
And how old is your brother? Hmm? How old is your brother?
16.
16? Yeah. Does he go to Jordan also?
Yeah, he's going to Jordan.
Okay, very cool. All right. And Yarissa, so your experience is a little bit different. You're actually born here, but your parents were not. And I feel like immigration is something that's definitely affected your family. So if you could talk a little bit about your family's journey.
Yes. So the story I am more familiar with is my mother's. So my mother is from Guatemala, and she came to the United States when she was 18 years old. Obviously, as a teenager, it was really hard for her. My mom had my older sister already. My older sister was sick. She needed certain medical things that obviously in Guatemala you can't get the money as fast as they ask for it. So my mom's plan was coming to the United States and working for my sister's treatment. My mom was 18 again, and she came to Washington, the state of Washington, and she stayed with her brothers. Obviously, it was very difficult because she faced a lot of struggles without having a car, without having a phone, without having money. Like, first thing, when you come here, like, you don't have anything. So it's like, she didn't even bring clothes, nothing, because they took it away from her, and she left things behind in the desert, in the way here. So it was like, she didn't have anything. She had nowhere to start from, and it was like she didn't have much help from her brothers either. So it was really hard for her. And after Washington, she lived there for like a year or two, and she went to Florida, and she kept moving state from state, trying to find opportunities and everything she could to pay for my sister's treatment.
So here in North Carolina, you have your mom, and then who else is with y'all here in the Durham area?
In North Carolina, I have my mother and my younger brother and my little sister.
Got it.
Obviously, she came to North Carolina only with me, because at that time, it was only my older sister and I. My mom had me in Florida. So after living in Florida for like 4 or 5 years, she brought me here to North Carolina, and here we started a life.
Great. Very cool. So I'll open this up to any of the five of y'all who want to answer this question here. But what do you feel like has been the biggest challenge that you faced in the American school system? So maybe even, Yurissa, I'll go with you first, though. I mean, you grew up, Spanish was your first language, I'm assuming.
Yes.
Even though you were born here, the language obstacle. So do you want to like maybe open up with that?
Yes. Growing up, I spoke Spanish very fluently. English was definitely a struggle for me, and it still kind of is to communicate. And my vocabulary is not the best. Even though I try to practice it and everything, it's just I can't explain myself fluently how I could in Spanish. It's always been a struggle. And being in America, it's like you need to put in practice. Like, you need to learn English, and you need to actually like step your vocabulary up to a certain level, because some people make fun of you, or some people discriminate you by that. So mm-hmm. It's like you have to learn. And
yeah. So Noam, I'm going to come to you next, because I've got the opportunity to teach you in my honors English class as well as my mass comm class. So it's been really neat to see how you've navigated, you know, trying to do this high level learning books with dialect, books with that were written 100 years ago or whatever. What would you say has been the biggest way you've navigated learning English?
Sometimes when they ask me something, it's like, say something and I can't. And then I start speaking in Spanish. It's like, it's something crazy. Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Talk about maybe your first day in the school system in America. Oh, what was that like?
My first day? Oh, I was very nervous. I get lost as fierce on the first day here. Tried speaking English for something who could help me, but no. Then a very nice guy, he told me, hey, what's up? What are you looking for? I just told him, I'm looking for my classes. Come with me. I'm going to help you. Unfortunately, he speaks Spanish. Yeah.
Was that your ninth grade year? Is that when you came?
Yeah, when I was a freshman. Yeah.
Okay. So that was ninth grade at Jordan High School. Mm-hmm. Was your first introduction to American schools.
Yeah. Right?
Okay. And Mina, I know you and Ayat, y'all both speak Arabic fluently. So talk a little bit about maybe, but even though for you, Mina, you came here, you were pretty young. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about that.
I would say the most challenging thing is that I spend more of my time in school than at home. Mm. And obviously having only three other family members that I can speak to in Arabic, my Arabic has regressed a lot. And it's kind of sad, or it makes me sad, because my own language, and I'm like struggling to communicate in it. And so my English is way better. And it's also hard because there isn't a very big Arab community in school or in America, really. You know, like there are a lot of Muslims, but also having Arabs in school isn't that common. So I can't really have a community at school, because it's very rare when you find someone that also speaks Arabic.
So you feel like in some ways coming here, you've had to not abandon your culture, but you feel like it's in some ways you've had to give up part of your identity. Is that a fair assessment?
Yes, because I don't call myself an American, like I'm a citizen, but I always say I'm Arab and I'm from Iraq. So I guess just trying to maintain my Arab culture while living in America and basically being raised here is just the hardest thing for me.
Okay.
In the United States, it's basically always work, school, you know,
yeah,
college stuff, and home. There is like no neighbors, you can't communicate that much, only at work. You can, like, it's kind of a hard over here. There's no social life, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's no.
Yeah.
But in Jordan, there's neighbors. Even we stay up to like 12, 1, all the stores are open.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing closed. Like in the US, you go at 8 or 7, you see basically all of them are closed, you know, the stores and everything. We were lucky because we had Arab people in the same apartment.
Mm-hmm.
Like we had a group of Arabic people with us, which that make it kind of easier because we were by ourselves. It's just weird. We don't know who to ask. We don't know what to do. We had people helping us. How can I say? Yeah, we were lucky with the Arabic people. We were asking them questions and meeting and everything.
Noam, if you would talk briefly about what's the thing you missed the most about Honduras? What did you like the most about your home country?
For be honest, I think I just miss part of my family, friends. Yeah.
Do you have grandparents back in Honduras, or do you have?
Oh, they passed away a few years ago. That's very sad, Kels. I was here. I could tell them goodbye or something like that, you know.
So you came here and your grandparents passed away after you came to the United States. Is
yeah.
That right? Yeah. Okay. Chan, if you talk a little bit about that. So talk about what language was your base language in Burma.
There's so many like ethnicity
people. Mm-hmm.
Like yeah, like that in Burma in each. Like states, but I'm from Yangon. It's like, it's really popular. Like so many people live there, but I speak Burmese and some of them speak like other languages and some of the people don't understand Burmese, like even in Burma.
So, and I've had to look this up myself and you told me about this earlier. So
yeah.
Burma as a name of a country, is also referred to Myanmar.
Yes.
Now, is that right? And I know there's a debate about, you know, what name should be used.
Mm-hmm.
And in Burma, there's a lot of political instability right now.
Yeah.
There's a lot of, are you worried for your family? Is it a constant, like the family that's been left over there? Or like, how much do you pay attention to what's going on?
My uncle is in somewhere right now, but my mom and my grandma is in Thailand. They're trying to come to United States for like visas and stuff, but they've been in Thailand for like almost like a year and a half for waiting for the visa and stuff. But yeah, and my dad, because my mom and my dad are divorced, so my dad lives in Burma.
Talk a little bit about your to some of the challenges that your parents face that maybe you don't even have to face as much as a younger person. What have you noticed about that? And any of y'all can jump into that.
I'll go first. Definitely a struggle that until this day, it's been a struggle. Getting discriminated by her appearance and by where she's from. There's been a lot of discrimination because many people see, I'm not trying to point out different people, but it's like Mexicans are more common than Guatemalans. And it's like for Guatemalans, they see Guatemalans a certain way. They're like, oh, you're Guatemalan. Like, you're not the same. Like, your people is different. You guys are from a darker skin tone. It's just people already generalize the group of people just by being from a certain place, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes in jobs, like my mom has been discriminated just by that, and they don't want to give her the job because she's from that country. And also it's been a challenge for her to communicate in English and be able to. Sometimes they've disrespected her and there's no way for her to defend herself because she doesn't know the language. So it's definitely been a struggle, and I probably can't relate fully because thankfully, ever since I was young, I went to a bilingual school and I could definitely learn English and Spanish at the same time. And thankfully, like, I can help her now that I'm older.
Mina, how about you? What have you noticed as being kind of like the biggest challenge that your parents have faced being here?
It's the guilt I feel that basically my parents gave up everything they have to come to the U.S. And so I feel guilty because while my life is just starting in this country of full of opportunities, their life is basically on hold for me. You know, like, they can't go get an education because they don't speak the language that well, and they have to work so that they can provide for my sister and I. And I just feel guilty, and also there's a lot of pressure on me because I want to make my parents proud and I want to give back to them when I get a job and I can buy them a house or a car or whatever it is. So I just, it's challenging for me to see them, you know, living the same daily routine every day, going to work and coming home and work and going home. And so, yeah.
And you said that your dad was training to be a lawyer when he was in Iraq. Is that correct?
It was in Egypt. He was studying law.
Okay.
Yeah, in the Cairo college.
And yeah, that would obviously be a path he would choose here, like, when and if he's able to, like, fully, like, learn the English language, I guess, or?
He wanted to continue law, like, as soon as we came here, because I think he was doing English lessons at Durham Tech. But it's like there's not enough money when you have to put your children in school and you have to buy them clothes and you have to get like a home and food. So he just put his life on hold for me.
Okay. What would you say, Chan, has been the biggest challenge for your mom being here?
My aunt was, she studied, I think she went to college in Singapore, and but like Singaporean people like doesn't speak like fully English, like Singaporean like accent. So like she doesn't really know about like English, but she understands it, but only for like talking, you know. So when I came here, so I understand English a little bit because I went to international school when I was young. So I can like speak in English and like talk to people like when I came here, so I can like translate to my like my cousins or my aunt about it. She wants to do like something, but she couldn't do just by like working and like providing to us. Yeah.
Okay. And then Noam, are you living with, is it both your mom and your dad, or who do you live with?
My mom.
Your mom. And what would you say has been the biggest challenge, Noam, for your mom being here?
The hardest part for her, it was when she came here, she didn't speak the language, she didn't have nothing. Then she started working, she got a job because my aunt helped her with that. In that time, she got depressed for almost everything, for come here, for leave the family.
And just work all day. Unfortunately, me and my brother, we have a job, so we pay our thing like cloud study, thing like that, to, you know, like to help her.
Yes. Yeah, so she, yeah. So you and your brother both have a job that, yeah, that helps to kind of to pay a lot of the bills. Mm-hmm. And does she worry for your family back in Honduras? Is that something that you feel like your mom struggles with?
Because my grandmother, like his mom, he passed away a couple of years ago, and she was very, very sad about it. She getting a big depression. Oh, she was struggled with that for 2 years, really 2 years. Me and my brother, we was in Honduras at that time. So she was like very worried about us, about her mother that passed away.
So your mom, yeah, came over here first, and then she sent for y'all to come after that?
Yeah.
Was that like, how was that for you and your brother? Was that scary coming over here by yourself, or how did that feel?
Yeah, really, it's like a very scary thing, like you're going to come to your country, to other country, because when we come to here, we pass from Guatemala, from Mexico, all Mexico, and it's a very dangerous way to come here, really very dangerous way. Yeah, just with that.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to read a quote to y'all that's from one of my favorite books called Beyond the Beautiful Forevers. It's a book by a journalist who says, her name's Catherine Boo, and she says, "When I settle into a place," this is Boo talking, "listening and watching, I don't try to fool myself that the stories of individuals are themselves arguments. I just believe that better arguments, maybe even better policies, get formulated when we know more about ordinary lives." And I think what that quote is basically saying is that the immigration debate is so hot, so contested, people get so upset on both sides or the other. And I guess maybe one of my final questions for you, and any of y'all can dive into this, is what is not being told about the immigration story? Like, what do you wish that people knew about the struggles that people face when they come to this country that maybe is getting lost in the debate about building the wall, or the debate about how many people we should let in, or whether it's safe people or people who are going to take jobs or whatever? So who would want to dive into that?
I feel like people really like to point out and say, oh, like they're bad people coming into the country, they're coming to ruin everything. And it's like, you don't notice how much those people have suffered to just come here. Like Noam said, it's really dangerous in Guatemala and Mexico to just like go by right now, because the violence right now, it's crazy. And over there, you can get kidnapped, many things can happen to you, and those people do not feel anything towards you because they're nothing to you. So it's really dangerous, and I feel like it's really unfair for people to think a certain way without knowing the process of it. They don't know how much suffering, how much kids have died in the way. I think they know, but they just don't think about it. They just don't think deeper in it and have some type of consideration at times. I feel like sometimes it's very unfair because there are certain people that do certain things and they can stay and they can have the opportunities while other people need it. They actually need it. There's dads, fathers from families that come here to grow, to want to have the money to raise their children, because over there it's like there's no money. Sometimes there's not even enough food, or you don't get paid enough when you're working to provide for your family. And it's like, it's unbelievable. It's really sad because I've heard of my own family members, and it's like, it's really sad. My cousin, for example, got separated from my aunt in the border. He was in Arizona, and they were going to give him up for adoption because nobody claimed him. We didn't know where he was or anything. Thankfully, like the last few days that were left for somebody to claim him, we found him and we could have him. We claimed him and we were like, we're not letting this happen. It was really sad. My cousin was 7 years old, and imagine you being away from your parents. It's like really sad. And being in a country where you don't know anybody, you don't know where you're at, you don't know what time it is, you don't know anything, and the language and everything, it's really, really hard.
I feel like a lot of our debate is over immigrants coming from Latin America, but we also, there's a big gap in understanding about Arab culture. Yes. So Ayat, if you would speak a little bit about some of the challenges of what you find with being an American and coming from an Arabic country.
The thing over here is that in Jordan, it's just a different outfit. You know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. Like for us in Jordan, we don't be having this. Like boys are not with girls. Over here is like all mixed and we're all together.
Yeah.
Over there is like more girls by themselves, boys by themselves. Over here I came and I saw everybody together. And you know how, and as well the outfits.
And then Mina, if you could also speak to that a little bit about what do you think some of the misunderstandings are?
One thing that really put into perspective for me how desperate people are to get to the U.S. and be able to immigrate is that in 2018 and 2019, when my family and I traveled to Iraq, my parents advised me to not speak English there. Don't tell anyone that you're American, that you have an American passport, because they'll kidnap you, they'll hold you hostage for money. And it just really made me think about how, you know, all these people that, like my own people, they all want to have the same opportunity that I have, but I guess we just got lucky Like, it could have been anyone that would be able to immigrate to the U.S., but my family is the one that got lucky, and so it makes me put into perspective of how grateful I should be to be here. And I just wish that people understood how lonely it is to be in the U.S. by yourself and, you know, with barely any family here. I wish our families were able to come to the U.S. and be with us, but that's not how it is, so.
I guess the last question I would like to ask is just, what are your, maybe one dream or hope that you have, whether it's for your, in your adult life here in America, whether it's with work or for anything? And I'll just kind of go down the line. And if you could maybe each speak to that, like one dream or hope that you have for the future. So Chan?
I would like to go back to my country again, like if I have a chance, but I don't think so, because I don't know if I like go back, like is military gonna like grab us, you know? I'll probably like, if I couldn't go to my country back, Myanmar again, do something good for like for us and like go to college and, you know, yeah.
Okay. How about you, Mina?
I hope someday my family can come to the US. I have aunts and uncles and cousins that are all in Iraq right now. And I hope that someday we can be reunited permanently and always be together and around each other. And I hope that I can make my parents proud.
Noam, what about you? One dream that you have for the future?
I want to go to college. I want to make feel my mom proud. Like, she didn't come to this country for nothing. And me, speaking for me and my brother, like, the only thing we want to do is, like, do something for express how much we love her, how much he support us, even she was struggling with his depression, make my mom proud of like he did, like what he do, what he choose to grow up me and my brother.
For me, I would just say have the health and have the life to be able to give my parents probably what they deserve. I can say my mother, since she's the only one I have. Just give her what she deserves, and probably I would never be able to pay her back by everything that she's done for me. But I want to give her what I can. I'm trying to make her proud in every sense. For her to see that it was worth it coming to the United States for us.
I'm sure she's proud of you, and I'm sure that all of your parents are proud of you, as I am. And these are five incredible people. It's been an honor for me to be able to teach them this year, and they're going to be doing some amazing things in the years to come. So thank you for listening, and thank you all five of y'all for being here today.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
The Jordan Innovation Lab podcast is made possible by donor support. Visit us at jordaninnovationlab.com to learn more about the books, podcasts, and documentary films that make up our program. We're always looking for new ideas, and we appreciate your support.